Tarik Skubal, Cy Young Award winner. Currently talking to the great Greg Maddux.
Wait, Skubal was not the Cy Young Award winner, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, that's right. Chris Sale's in the National League now.
Yes, he's on the Braves now.
I had a messed up moment there where I was like, wait a minute.
At you and I could see it.
I'm like, wait a minute.
I could see Skubal, the confusion.
They're in the same league. What is going on?
They just changed the rules.
Yeah. Woo. I thought I was losing my mind there for a second. I know we said Chris Sale won, but how is that possible?
It's kind of crazy to me that there's three guys that are nominated, and they don't send a camera crew to any of these guys' place. They make them set it up on their phone.
That, my friend,
is
how you save money there.
You're right.
You don't have to send a crew there. They don't got to bring the equipment.
Oh, you mean be professional?
What? Professional, professional.
Professional, professional.
It's all good.
Yeah, apparently, it's Tarik Skubal's birthday, too, so good for him.
Wow.
Or someone
Cy Young
in his
Award
house.
Winner on his, well, he has happy birthday up. It could be for the baby he has there, but baby doesn't look a year old yet. Maybe.
The baby looks older than a year. Tarik Skubal wins.
0973, right? 0973. 833.
Did Chris Sale and Tarik Skubal really mess you up that much?
They kind of did. Because now I can't remember the number. 833-288-0973. There. Boom.
Real quick, before we move off Chris Sale,
go ahead.
Did you hear the reason, after all these years, why and how he ripped up those jerseys when he played for the White Sox?
Did he talk about it?
He did.
What did he say?
He said that he hated those 1976 uniforms.
He said as much when he did it.
Because it has a collar or something. He didn't like it. So we asked the clubhouse guy, can we not wear these? Clubhouse guy said, sorry, we have to wear them. And he said, all right. Took a knife to his. That just stabbed up his jersey. Goes back to the clubhouse guy, says, hey, can't play in this anymore. Clubhouse guy says, yeah, you can. I have extras. I'm going to go get you a new one. So you know what he did then?
He cut the next one up.
No, he cut all of them up except for four because he knew they didn't have they didn't have enough backups. So they had to go out in the other uniforms because they literally didn't have jerseys. He's sliced up like 20 plus jerseys.
I got to tell you that is funny to hear, but I'm sure it caused a ton of headaches.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I'm
sure it caused all kinds of headaches.
Can you imagine walking into that room being the club manager being like, there's 22 shredded jerseys with a psycho running around with a knife?
I was about to say, that is the other thing. That is the one thing I do sometimes miss about being in a clubhouse is inevitably in every locker room there is at least one, maybe two quirky dudes in there that can sometimes straddle the line of being psychotic.
Oh, yeah.
And when they go into one of those modes, it can be very entertaining at times. Yes, for sure.
But just kind of watch from afar.
Yeah, you don't want to be too close. You don't want to be involved, per se.
No, because then if they look at you, you make eye contact, things go bad.
Right, I mean, but
then he's asking you to destroy
jerseys. I can have the visual of Chris Sale walking into everybody's locker and just stabbing away.
Oh, wait, I have a sound effect now for what Chris Sale sounded like. As he's going to each jersey. But yeah, he finally admitted that.
Yeah,
so
that's funny. So, yes, Chris Sale in the National League, Tarik Skubal in the American League. What are we? Is that all the awards? What we got?
No,
MVPs?
We got MVP tomorrow.
MVPs tomorrow.
Yes.
National and American League.
Yes. Aaron Judge, Shohei.
Well, who? Let's give all three. Aaron Judge.
Juan
Soto. Two Yankees. Is it Ramirez?
I can't remember the last one. Bobby Witt.
Witt is the third.
That was a brain malfunction there for a second.
That was pretty good. You knew all three. What about in the National League? Shohei.
Shohei is number one.
You got Ketel Marte.
Yes.
Who's the third? Looking at the chat. Chat, help us out.
I forget these things all the time, and Adam's probably sitting at his desk like, come
on, yelling.
Dude.
He's
come
yelling.
Come on, dude.
Somebody probably typed it in already. Just look at the chat again.
Nothing yet. Nothing yet. Shohei Ohtani. Why is this always so? You know what? Bing is maybe the worst search engine of all time. Lindor.
Lindor. Oh, that's right. Francisco Lindor.
God, I hate forgetting easy stuff like that. But Bing might be the worst search engine on earth. I
bet
say.
You we would know it if there was a Padre in there.
Well, yeah. Dylan Cease was fourth in the National League Cy Young.
Got to fourth.
I was thinking about why isn't he being talked about it more?
Definitely can use that in your free agency.
Yeah, hey, I came in fourth in Cy Young.
I'm sure he's got one Cy Young under his belt, right? Pretty sure he won the couple years before.
You guys have made me so scared to say anything incorrect.
We say things, you get to correct it. But I'm pretty sure he got one.
Cy Young. Doesn't say he has one.
No, he doesn't have one.
No, I think he came in second that year when he had like a really, really good ERA.
That
was that 2022?
Nonetheless, fourth place visit for Dylan Cease. Chance to maybe have a better year this upcoming year.
Yeah, he was Cy Young. He was the runner-up.
Who did he lose out to?
Strangely enough, Justin Verlander. Still had it 2 years ago.
Yeah, Father Time's no joke. No joke.
It happened quick. And Alec Manoa was number three.
Wow. Times have changed.
Yes.
All right, let's play some Gwen and Chris. Oh, excuse me. Gwen versus the Fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Let's get to the rules, and I'll tell you what you're trying to get qualified for. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. I mean, Tony gets it right. If Tony gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into the first question. You'll get that question for free today. Chris versus the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation, and today you will be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at Westgate Las Vegas, two tickets to Soul of Motown, and $150 food and beverage credit. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. And the award-winning Soul of Motown is a high-energy concert-style musical tribute celebrating Motown legends. This is a must-see show during your Las Vegas vacation getaway. Tickets at westgateresorts.com. All right, let me get situated and we will get started. Give me number 1 through 6, Tony.
Two.
Two is Mark.
What's up, Mark?
Hey. How's it going, boy?
It's going well.
Pretty
my
well.
Friend.
You ready to play?
Let's go.
All right. It just happened. Who won the National League Cy Young Award?
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale is correct. All right. Question number two. What player won the World Baseball Classic MVP in 2023?
Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani is correct. Nice job. Man, we're running through this. I love it, Mark. Saving up my questions. Here we go. Question number three. You get this right or Tony gets it wrong and you're qualified for Las Vegas. Who was the coach of the New York Giants before they hired Brian Daboll? So the last coach before they hired Brian Daboll.
I can picture his face. It's the right guy. No
idea. Is this Chris? Hold on then, Mark. I'm going to put you down and Tony's going to have to take a guess.
Give me the question again. Head coach before
who was the coach? Dable? Head coach of the New York Giants before Brian Daboll.
Wasn't another quarterfish. Oh, wasn't his last name Judge?
I can't tell you that.
Yes, you can.
You have to give me both names.
No, you don't. No, you don't. It's last names. We've been doing last names the whole time. Thank you.
I'm sorry about that, Mark. I really tried
to
get
Joe
you the
Judge?
Win.
That's
Joe Judge.
Thanks.
No problem. Thanks for playing, Mark. Calling again
soon. That was my best Chris Ello impression right there.
Did you know that the whole time?
I knew his last name was Judge. I just thought of the joke.
Remember
part.
Joe Judge? That was such a bad experiment.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to our next contestant. We'll go to Chris in San Marcos. Chris, hello.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Are you ready to play?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Here we go. This is how I typed in the question, everybody. What team drafted Jared God number one overall? Jared Goff. What Jared team drafted God. Jared Goff number one overall?
The Rams.
Do you remember?
It was a Steve. It was a Fisher. Jeff Fisher.
It
pick
was.
Right
and
there.
I believe it was their first year in LA, and I remember them doing Hard Knocks, and Jared Goff didn't know that the sun set in the west and rose in the east. He wasn't sure about that.
I recall that.
Guy went to Berkeley. All right, anyway, he's playing really well now, so it doesn't matter where the sun rises and sets for him. Here we go, Chris. Second question. We just talked about Shohei Ohtani being the World Baseball Classic MVP. Who did Shohei Ohtani strike out to win the World Baseball Classic in 2023?
Oh, man. Trent Grisham.
Good answer, but not the right one.
What's the question again?
Who did Shohei Ohtani strike out to win the WBC in 2023?
Oh, that would have been his teammate at the time, Mr. Trout.
That is correct. Sorry about that, Chris. Thank you for calling. Yes, I remember that. We were actually driving, Chris and I, well, Chris was driving separate, but we were driving through to spring training.
To Arizona.
And I had the TV on and I was listening through my speakers. I wasn't watching it. But as soon as Mike Trout came up, Tony, buffering.
Of course. That's how it works.
I was listening to the stupid broadcast the entire time. Didn't get to hear Mike Trout. All right. Let's go to our next contestant. Let's go to Christian in Santee. Hello, Christian.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing well, Christian.
Ready to go?
Let's do it.
What cell phone maker hosts MLB games on TV Friday nights during the baseball season?
Apple.
Apple is correct. All right. We will move on to question number two. How many first place votes did Jackson Merrill receive in Rookie of the Year voting?
102?
I maybe that's overall, but first place votes out of the 30.
Oh. I don't know it.
Okay, you could. That's okay. That's okay, Christian. I think Tony knows because we've talked about it.
Yes, I believe the number of first place votes he got was 7.
7 is correct. Sorry, Christian. Play again soon, please. Man, Tony is really going through everything here. And we're going to stay on track today.
I feel like Chris Ello right now.
Yeah, doesn't it feel bad knowing that you have to go to break and
you
just keep winning?
It feels good.
It feels good.
It feels good. I like winning.
All right, we're going to go to a tiebreaker. Who's my player today?
Olden Polonies.
Oh, I know that guy. How do you think of these people?
Polonies. I don't know why I'm thinking of Olden Polonies.
Yeah, that is old school. Like, I haven't thought about that guy in a long time. He never played for the Warriors, but I thought he did. He played for the Kings. That's why I know who he is. All right, let's go to our next contestant, and it's going to be Alex in Cardiff. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Hey. Do you know how to play the tiebreaker?
I do know how to play.
You do know how to play. So stay right there, Alex. Tony, I'm going to ask you a number. You're going to give me an answer, and then Alex is going to guess whether or not the actual number is higher or lower than what you said.
Word up.
So, Olden Polonies, mm-hmm. How many games did he start in his career?
How many years did he play?
He played 15.
15 years. Let's say about starts 500.
500. Alex, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Higher.
Can you take me higher? Higher.
You are correct. Thank you, Alex, for ending the game on time. I will put you on hold. Get your information in the break. He started 658 games in his career, played 1,058. So
I wasn't really that close.
No, but 500 is better than like 1,000 or something.
Yeah, no, that's true. All right, let's slide away. Let's get to break. Who was it that won? Was it Chris that won? Who
was it? It was Alex.
Alex that won. Alex, stay on the line. Mr. Scraby will be there to get your information. Meanwhile, we'll take a break. When we come back, reports of the Jets owner wanting to bench Aaron Rodgers earlier this season. We'll get into that on Gwen and Chris.
Welcome back into Gwen and Chris. I'm Matt Scraby. Chris is out there, or up there, out there? In Riverside, Tony Gwynn Jr. and myself in the Odyssey Palace. 97.3 The Fan, the Big Five coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And we are going to talk about the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight, Tony, in the Big Five. It has more and more people are coming out and revealing things that were like a part of the contract and what they can, cannot do. So I want to ask you about that. Also, did you hear Ray Lewis was interested in coaching a college
FAU, team? Right?
Yeah,
Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
Although I heard Charlie Weiss Jr. is the front runner for that job.
Charlie Weiss Jr.
Yes,
what the heck has he done in his life?
He could have been a coordinator somewhere. I don't know.
I'm going to look this up right this, this moment.
It's going to really bother Scraby. The fact that his name is Junior.
Well,
is a
he was born in 1993.
Scraby, that makes him kind of old nowadays.
I guess
buddy.
You're right. I guess you're right.
He's 31 right now, bro.
He's worked for a lot of teams. Most recently, he's the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach of Ole Miss.
There you go.
South Florida.
Ole Miss is a pretty big program.
Dude's 31, Tony.
What? I'm sorry, is that too young?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For a college guy?
He's going to be partying with those kids.
No,
of, like,
he's not, Scrabe.
I don't
he's
know.
He's just mad because he's Charlie Weiss's son and he's got a job.
There is zero chance. How old are you in 2011 if you're born in 1993? So 18. There is zero chance an 18-year-old kid off the streets gets a job with the Florida Gators at the age of
18. What was he doing?
Offensive quality control.
There's that quality control, which I could tell you translates into we're making up a job for you to do here.
And who does that for someone? All right, I'm going to move on because I know I sound really terrible in this whole thing.
Just keep it moving, man.
Sorry about that, everyone on the YouTube. I was in the break, but you just missed the great Charlie Weiss Jr. rant. Anyway, all right, let's talk about Woody Johnson. He's the owner of the Jets.
Real quick, I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt you. But
is it about Charlie Weiss Jr.?
It's actually about the Padres.
Oh, well then, please do.
Did you see the love that Mookie Betts and Max Muncy were giving the Padres and their fans?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
How did you feel about that?
Did you
feel like it was a fugazi?
I don't feel like Mookie's that guy.
No, I don't either. It didn't feel like fugazi.
Max
like,
Muncy, yeah.
Why Max? Why was his fake?
Just because he's Max Muncy. But Mookie seems like a stand-up guy.
I felt like they were both being very honest about it, especially Mookie. Pretty much called this the best atmosphere in
here
all of baseball.
Go
ahead and play it.
We'll play it because it's short, so here we go.
To be honest, and I think all of y'all would agree, like that Padres team was the best team. They were the best team.
Best team and the hardest atmosphere to
play. Hardest atmosphere to play. Like, I mean, a shout out to y'all at Petco. Like, y'all, that's a great, like, y'all support y'all's team.
So
What about Max Muncy's statement? Made
because
you think
he looks immediately at Chris Taylor like, ha, 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 ha.
You can't be serious.
Chris Taylor's like, what? What are you doing, Max?
Chris Taylor's enjoying his drink. Let him live his life. He's just sitting there drinking, look like an adult beverage. Might have been some lemonade, but it sounds better. It looks like there's some crust on the cup there, so it looks like a salted brim there.
Yes, it does.
So, I mean, he's enjoying an adult beverage. They might have had some adult beverages when they were having this conversation.
That's true, too.
Which sometimes leads to truth coming out.
I believe Mookie Betts. I don't think they have any reason to not
say
it.
I don't honestly think we needed to hear that from them in order to believe that. I think if you were in attendance last year for any of those playoff games, you would have agreed.
Yeah, you would definitely agree. It was loud. Place was moving during the playoffs. But I think... I do believe it.
You don't want to believe it.
No, I do believe it, because then they're giving Padres fans, their credit. So, but what do you think as a baseball player? You just gave Padres fans an upper hand whenever you come back here.
At some point, you start to look kind of crazy if you're still denying that. Like, you can't be taken serious. If you can't say that that atmosphere was legit, best in the league this year, then at some point you lose credibility. You just are being a hater at that point. And I don't see Mookie as a hater. I don't see Max as a hater, quite frankly. Okay. Unless he's telling you to get the ball out of the water, that he hit it like he did your boy Bumgarner back in the day.
Yes, and then he made a shirt that said, get it out of the water. But yeah, I did see that. So if you're out there, like, you want to see the clip, just search Mookie.
I feel like the tide has kind of turned in terms of the Dodgers and the respect factor on the other side. I think they've always respected them, but I think deep down they felt like they were always still the better team. I don't know that they necessarily feel like that when they walk onto the field.
Multiple players said after playing the Padres that this was the best team and that they were not afraid, but they were happy that they had to go through
them. I think Max Muncy said he wasn't eating during that series at all. That's how spooked he was that it could all come to an end. Just think, man, their whole thing changed. I mean, had the Padres won that series, it could be likely that Dave Roberts is not the manager for the Dodgers
and I think
this
that's
following year.
Why they're also saying this is because they won the World Series. Yeah, I don't see this happening if they didn't win the World Series. But
yeah, it'd have been a little tougher.
Yeah. No, that's good, though. You know, I know it's... not cool to like a Dodger, but I like Mookie Betts. I don't know how you can hate him. Although I do hate him when he's hitting home runs against the Padres and all that stuff.
That's how you can hate him right there.
Jerks and Profar robbed him in that one game and then angered him, and Mookie Betts woke up, and the rest is history. Real quick, though, Woody Johnson, owner of the Jets, there's a report, Tony, because they also fired the GM, Joe Douglas. This sounds like one of the most toxic environments you can find in a workplace.
Yes.
Joe Douglas was telling everybody that he was just basically waiting to be fired. He was also not very happy with the owner because he would go behind his back and he would tell agents that they're not going to make that deal. Like, he got in the middle of the Hassan Reddick thing. He came in to talk to Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, Woody Johnson, and said, hey, you guys need to sit Aaron Rodgers after week 4. And I guess the reports are that they both looked at him and said, are you serious? And he said, yeah, I'm serious. And they're like, no, we can't do that. We cannot. First off, how's he going to take it? Second,
how's the team going to take it?
How's the team going to take it? Number three, we don't have a good enough backup. Tyrod Taylor is not going to start the rest of the year. So there was a lot of hatred going on between everybody.
That's probably why you got fired. You didn't do what the boss told you to do, even if it would have. Listen, I don't know that he's in the same spectrum as Jerry Jones, but they seem to think kind of similar. Like, they can have an impact. I think Woody does a better job of actually, when he can, staying out of the way. But maybe not. The Jets have been bad for quite some time, too, haven't they?
Yeah, they have been. The last time they were good was with Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan, but that was 10-plus years ago.
Yeah.
I think Woody Johnson falls into the owner realm of, I'm a really, really smart guy. I have lots of money because I'm such a smart guy. Everything has always been successful for me. This is not, so I need to get involved because I am the one who's going to be able to fix this. And it just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
He also fired Robert Saleh without telling Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas basically walked in not knowing that his head coach was gone. It's just those things undermine people.
That's why they're going to continue to suck.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, that's it.
We get, at least for the Jets, we know that they're going to suck. Like, every year we somehow convince ourselves that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be good again.
The NFL puts them on every single
primetime
game.
And every year we get to watch as that proves to be terribly wrong. So there's
it's
that.
Very true. It's very true. But yeah, I'm glad. You know, I have a sports court, but we're going to have to push sports court to tomorrow. Also, Kyle Glazer. But the sports court is about whether...
Wait, we were pushing sports court back to tomorrow, too? I don't get to wear the wig?
What tomorrow you get to wear the wig.
You know, I would like to be informed of these things before.
We talked about it in the last break.
I don't even remember you saying Kyle Glazer was going to have to be pushed to tomorrow.
Are you being real right now?
Yes, I don't
remember.
Are
you pulling a Chris?
I'm not pulling a Chris.
You just shake your head yes and then go with it?
I only heard Glazer. That's all I heard.
Well, we definitely need to push sports court till tomorrow because we got the big five. I guess at 5:20 we can. We'll talk about it in the break.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, big five on the other side.
39. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello, holding down the women's Aztecs basketball team, getting ready for their matchup against California Baptist, a.k.a. CBU.
CBU.
Not, however, Cal Baptist.
No.
They don't like it.
No likey. No likey for Cal Baptist. What is the California Baptist mascot?
It's a great question.
I'm a loud typer, apparently.
I know they...
Lancer.
The Lancers... did their best in the women's soccer NCAA tournament. Held UCLA to overtime before succumbing to the, I think, number two ranked team in the nation.
Wow.
Nonetheless.
They're in the WAC.
They are in the WAC.
Didn't know the WAC was still around.
Oh, yeah. WAC is healthy.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, Grand Canyon was in the WAC. They are now moving to the Mountain West as San Diego State moves out of the Mountain West to the Pac-12. There's going to be still more movement, I think, this coming summer.
There has to be.
Yeah.
There has to be a couple teams out there that are
well, for the Pac-12,
under the radar.
For Pac-12's sake, there has to be. They got to get to eight teams. They're still too short of that for football.
Oh, it's got to be easy. Come on down.
Ooh.
Palomar College.
Let's knock it off. we have a big five first, though. Let's check some traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Just as a programming update, I think Tony talked me into sports court at 5:20.
Boom. So you guys are welcome.
All right, let's get into the big five today. We're going to start with something.
Number five.
That I heard on Annie and Elston on the way in. I was listening to them while I was driving to work, and they were talking about where AJ Preller could possibly make trades, and two names that have been untouchable were mentioned. Ethan Salas and Leo Dallas DeVries. So, Tony, if you have the option to get a guy like Garrett Crochet, but it hinges on one of those going to the White Sox, do you make that trade?
One of them?
One of them. I'm not going to give you which one. That's up to you. Does it change? If they want Ethan Salas, are you a yes? If they want Leo Dallas DeVries, is it a yes?
Maybe. I don't think Crochet is the guy, though.
I don't either.
For either of those two. I would be willing to part with one for the right arm.
Like, it has to be elite.
I'm trying to think who that is right now. Oh, we talked. Scooble's name came up last year during that time when
that's
he was
true.
Possibly going to be traded. Yeah, I'd give up Ethan Salas for Scooble without much hesitation.
Interesting.
But Not for Crochet. Too many question marks.
Too many question marks, motivations, arm injuries, all that stuff. Would I get rid of one? Not get rid of one. Would I send one to the Chicago White Sox? You know, I've been in this camp of don't trade these guys. I want to see them come to fruition with the Padres. But if you can get a guy like Tarek Skubal, as you just mentioned, who just won the Cy Young, and all you have to do is send Ethan Salas or... I really like DeVries.
You ain't even seen DeVries.
I've watched a lot of his highlights.
I've watched a lot of his highlights.
Lake Elsinore Storm is very good on social media, and I get to see all the stuff that he does.
Fair enough.
But I would do it, too. If you can get an ace, I guess you're sending. Because Ethan Salas is the furthest away from the big leagues, most likely. And you're not going to get a return on him right now. Nate wants to know if we would do it for Skeens. Yes. Skeens would be fine. I would do it for Skeens.
Yeah, you'd have to have the come to Jesus moment there at Skeens there.
I don't mind Skeens. I hate the media.
It doesn't feel like that, though. I'm just saying. Number
four. There is something taking the sports world by storm, and it's probably not what you think, Tony. We are seeing more and more athletes celebrating on the field with the Trump dance. You know, he does at the rallies or whatever. The latest star to do this is Christian Pulisic after his goal against Jamaica on Monday night in the Nations League. He told reporters after the win he thought it was funny and went on to say, well, obviously that's the Trump dance. It was just a dance that everyone's doing. He's the one who created it. I just thought it was funny. It's not a political dance. It was just for fun. I saw a bunch of people do it and I thought it was funny, so I enjoyed it. I hope some people did, at least, end quote. I'm up first on this one. Are we at a point in time where we can separate a political dance from a fun dance? In my mind, yes. Yes, you can.
In your mind?
In my mind. Okay. In everybody else's mind, I don't know that people can do that.
Yeah. Should we be able to?
Yeah. You said something else with the SH.
Should we be able to? Yes.
The question is, are we out of time?
Clearly not. Because
this did cause Bolsik controversy.
Did the dance and had to answer questions about it. My man Brock Bowser, right? Bowers. Brock Bowers did it. The Raiders media crew cut the questioning after that. So clearly we aren't. Because, it's guys do some dances in the end zone every week. This one just happens to be
a political one. Exactly. I guess. It's not really political. It's because he did it. If he's going to do it, he's got to know that it's going to cause
without a doubt
controversy.
You're going to be asked about.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're going to do it, you should have to answer the question. And I thought
Pulisic
answered it truthfully.
Yeah.
He said, I've seen everybody doing it. Thought it'd be funny. The kicker is, in real life, it's done with the least amount of rhythm as possible.
He has too much rhythm.
Felt like Brock Bowers and Christian both had too much rhythm doing it.
People shaped like me.
I don't know if the shape has anything to do with it.
I have no rhythm either.
Just the rhythm of it has.
Yeah, I think we need to lighten up a little bit, too, because it's just that everything is so serious all the time. I like to make jokes, but people were upset with Christian Pulisic. Number three. Now, the big and fake boxing match between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul has had more and more revealed about the big fight. Even former NFL wide receiver Michael Irvin is getting in on the rumors. Here is what he said or heard about the fight on It Is What It Is.
But they had no intentions to really strap it on. Yeah. If you look through that, I may see one patented uppercut by Mike Tyson. What did Mike Tyson win on? Uppercut. Then I heard some people talking about they could put that in the contract. He couldn't body in their uppercut. Like, how could you put that in a fight contract? How you got all these people out here and he couldn't body him and do that patented uppercut? All of that is, Mike Tyson is not Mike Tyson anyway, and now you're taking away Mike Tyson's best gift, which was that uppercut. Man, that's a big lie to me, man. That's like making me run and play a game without running a slant route and a deep in or a deep out. You do what you do best, and if they take that away, you ain't that dude.
Okay. Michael Irvin is very fired up making the football analogies, but There you go. He said that he had heard that there was no uppercuts allowed, and that was a part of the contract. So, Tony, is this celebrity boxing world that is becoming bigger and bigger, is it real boxing or is it fake boxing?
I mean, they're training real, but the matchups aren't real. Let's be real. I mean, like, you had Jake Paul has, I think what may kind of get washed away is that although Jake Paul is a, or was a, like a
YouTuber,
someone who made their living on social media, say what you want, he is training like a boxer.
Yeah.
Now, he may not be good enough to beat some real guys, but he's certainly good enough to beat a bunch of people who just started training, or a guy that's more than double his age. So, to answer your question, I don't think it's getting bigger. I just think we are just tuning into whatever we just are consuming so much now that, you know, I don't think it's good for boxing. I mean, it's this is who we're tuning in to watch.
108 million people watch Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson instead of like a real, I don't know, like Mayweather Pacquiao. I know that happened way
clearly
too late,
Mike Tyson helped drive that watch rate up because it's up from the other bouts that he had.
True.
But you know, he'd be silly not to keep trying to take advantage of it. Why money for him at this point?
I think it's fake boxing, but I also think that he knows it's fake boxing. I don't think that he, I mean, he did call out Canelo, but maybe that's just the inner promoter of him, calling out one of the best boxers in the world. But I think he knows, like, this is what I'm going to do. I can garner a lot of attention if I just fight some of these old fighters, and people will watch. 108 million people will watch, and a bunch of people will show up to the AT&T Stadium. So it's fake boxing. On the Scraby Show, I think there is an interesting conversation about sports betting and these fake boxing events.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's a slippery slope, because they could... Anyway, Scraby Show. That's what we'll talk about.
Hang on to it.
Yeah. Number two. Despite many rumors, Ray Lewis is unlikely to be hired as the Florida Atlantic head coach. I guess Tony told me that Charlie Weiss Jr. is involved in that position. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. ESPN reported yesterday that he had emerged as a candidate for FAU, but there actually has not been any communication between Lewis and the school as of this morning. FAU fired second-year coach Tom Herman on Monday after a 6-16 record in just two seasons with the team. The 49-year-old Lewis was obviously a Baltimore Raven. He won two Super Bowls. He played college football at Miami. He has no coaching experience at the collegiate level. But I'm up first. Could Ray Lewis step in with no experience and succeed? I think, of course, he could do the football, but I don't know that he wants to do the rest, number one. The recruiting is tough. It's a whole different world. Now, will he get guys on the phone or in person because he's Ray Lewis that's calling? Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know that Ray Lewis could just step in and be a seamless transition in building a college football program. If he did this over years, yeah. And the football will be fine. It's the recruiting and the day-to-day management that I think would be an issue for him. What do you think, Tony?
I don't think it would be an issue for him at all. I mean, listen, Deion started his stay at Jackson State without any collegiate
experience.
Yeah, he was true. A high school coach. I don't know what Ray's doing, but I know this dude is an excellent motivator. I know that he could get some kids ready to run through a wall. If you're a linebacker, in the same way as if you're a DB, why wouldn't you want to go learn from him? If the idea is to be a pro, I think Ray Lewis has probably got some jewels for you that will help you.
Yeah, definitely.
And listening to, I mean, he used to motivate dudes in the NFL that were his teammates.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what he could do to a young man that is trying to be molded into a pro.
I have been told that one of the most electric things in sports was when Ray Lewis came out when he was introduced at Ravens games.
Yeah, and
he
would do bird dance thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And people would just go nuts for him. And I mean, that alone fired everyone up.
I find it interesting, you know, I think he recently lost his son to suicide, if I'm not mistaken. Now, maybe it was within the year. And, you know, this may be something that he is looking at a little more seriously now, dealing with that loss.
Oh, yeah. Last year, unfortunately. That's unfortunate. Yeah. Yes. All right. Let's go into the final one, which is the Houston Astros. Excuse me. They are going to get a new home name or a name for their home on January 1st, becoming Daikin Park under an agreement through the 2039 season, the team announced on Monday. The stadium opened as Enron in 2000, and then it was after Enron went bankrupt, it went to Minute Maid, which was
paid for by the Minute Maid Co. Yeah,
it was.
Now, Minute Maid hung on for a very long time. That's got to be one of the longer names.
I think it's 28 years. Anyway, the Juice Box is one of my favorite nicknames for any stadium. Now, Tony, that it's called Daikin Park, can we still call it the Juice Box?
I'm calling it the Juice Box.
Thank you. Thank you. The Juice Box is an awesome name.
Now,
can't call it the Daikin Box.
When I'm in my regular job, I won't be able to continue to call it the Juice Box. My other job, I should say. I got to be professional. So what is it called?
Daikin Park.
Daikin Park. Live from Daikin Park.
Just doesn't sound the same, man.
No, it doesn't.
You know.
Live from the Juice Box.
Yeah. I love it when big conglomerate air conditioning companies buy stadium rights fees, but that's for another day. Because no one cares about Daikin. Anyway, that's it for the Big Five. We're going to have some sports court on the other side. We're also going to be updating you on everything that's happened today in sports so far. Back shortly on 97.3 The Fan.